Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
State lawmakers return to town this week as calls increase for the repeal of the sweeping anti-LGBT law they passed last month in a special session. Also on the agenda is a proposal by Governor Pat McCrory for teacher salary increases of $5,000. Superintendent of Public Instruction June Atkinson has called for an across-the-board 10% increase in teacher pay. Atkinson joins us now to talk about her proposal and other education issues facing lawmakers this summer. Well, Superintendent Atkinson, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Well, thank you for having me.
A lot to talk about as the General Assembly session is upon us, really. It wasn't too many months ago you called for a 10% raise across the board for teachers. Governor McCrory has come out with a pay plan that gives veteran teachers, I think, $5,000 in addition to a bonus. What do you think of his plan, and where do you think we are on teacher pay?
Well, first of all, I think that's a start, but our teachers do need at least a 10% raise across the board. We continue to not be competitive with our states surrounding North Carolina. We've seen a 30% reduction in the number of people entering the teaching profession since 2010. So if we do not do something today in the next General Assembly session, then we will continue to have a bigger hole which we will have to dig out of.
Some of the Senate leadership has said they thought it might be 2.5% or 3%, not even 5%. What happens to our teaching profession if they go another year with not much of a raise?
Well, with the economy improving, we will see more teachers go to other professions. We will see our teachers in counties with bordering South Carolina or Tennessee or Virginia move or go across the border to teach. We will see fewer students going into the teaching profession. That then causes a revolving door of teachers coming and going, and we cannot get traction with having very high turnover rates among our teachers.
As the session approaches, what are some of the other things you think this General Assembly needs to invest in to help public schools other than teacher pay?
Well, number one, resources in the classroom. I go to schools all the time and I hear teachers talking about they're spending $100 for resources or supplies. I hear them talking about how that our students have greater needs today and they do not have the resources to do that. So number one, we need to increase dollars going to textbooks, digital learning devices, and resources. We need more money for instructional supplies, and we need to continue on our route or on our road to have all of our classrooms connected to wireless.
It seems like every year teacher assistants come up, and I've already heard some folks talking about that again. Where do you think we are with teacher assistants? We have several thousand fewer than we did just a few years ago, and there's always pressure, at least from the Senate leadership, to reduce that even further.
Well, if one would just visit schools across North Carolina, go into kindergarten classes, first and second grade classes, and see all of the demands on teachers, one would see readily the importance of teacher assistants. When you think about getting 25 students to the restroom and to the cafeteria, then we would recognize that our teacher assistants have an important role in helping our teachers be more professional.
One bill that is likely to be before the General Assembly is to create something called Achievement School Districts, which allows low-performing schools to be converted to charters and in many states run by out-of-state for-profit companies. I know you've been keeping up with this as it goes through the process. Where do you think we are, and what do you think of the idea?
Well, first of all, I'll address the idea. Why would we spend extra dollars that could be spent in the classroom directly helping students for out-of-state or other companies to hire a superintendent to run a school or schools across North Carolina? I think it's an idea that has not proven to be very effective in other states using that idea. We do have research from Dr. Gary Henry from Vanderbilt University about the success of the turnaround model that we have used in North Carolina. So I don't see it as effective use of taxpayers' dollars to go in this direction.
Another topic that's likely to come up is more discussion about the A through F grading system. I know you've had concerns about this from the beginning, and even some folks on the other political side have maybe said we need to change the formula, but they said that last year nothing was done. So yeah. How important is addressing this A through F grading system?
Well, it's very important to address the A through F grading system because there are some outstanding schools in our state receiving D's and F's. The grading system is really a grading system for poverty in our state. And at the least, I would like the General Assembly to maintain what is called the 15-point scale. If we go to a 10-point scale, we'll have more and more of our schools labeled as failure. And once you get an F or a D, even though a school may have met growth, it is very, very difficult to remove that scarlet letter from a school and from a community's mind. We also know that with the new legislation from Congress, ESSA, that we will have to have for federal accountability a new system. And in the long session, we want the General Assembly to look at the recommendations and change the A through F system.
Obviously, this House Bill 2 has been in the news quite a bit. The governor had an executive order which prohibits state employees from being discriminated against based on their sexual orientation, but that does not cover teachers, apparently. Where do you think we should be, and should teachers be protected based on their sexual orientation?
Absolutely, yes. And fortunately, House Bill 2 did not repeal some of the language dealing with bullying of our students. So that's good. But all of our teachers and educators should be protected from discrimination.
Another issue that has gotten a lot of attention is the disproportionate suspension for children of color in our public schools. And it's happening not just in rural areas, but in Wake County and other places. What are your thoughts about what we can do to address this disproportionate suspension issue?
Well, first of all, we have cut the suspension rate almost in half over the last 5 to 6 years, but we still need to address the issue. And one initiative we have underway with the Department of Public Instruction, and we're working with school districts across the state, is called a multi-tiered system of support. And that system allows teachers and others to have alternatives and other tools in the toolbox to address inappropriate behavior of students. Another thing that we can do to address this issue is to get rid of the all or nothing of punishing students and give teachers and principals the authority to use their professional judgment when it comes to suspensions. In some cases, when you think of a student who inadvertently forgot to take out a Swiss Army knife, gets the same punishment as a student who brings a loaded gun to school, then you see that we've taken away the professional judgment of our teachers and principals. And so we need to address that issue also.
There's been a lot of talk about increasing money for vouchers in this session and every session by the people who support that, claiming there's a big public demand. Where do you think we are in terms of the voucher experiment?
Well, while I value parents having the choice of going to a private school or homeschooling or going to a public school, I believe that taxpayers' dollars should go to support public education in our state. And we do know that in looking at the schools receiving vouchers, we know that the majority of them, the top 4 or 5, are religious-based schools. We know that we have large Christian schools receiving those dollars, and our Islamic schools are receiving those dollars. What bothers me about the whole notion of vouchers is the use of public dollars, and are we with separation of church and state.
And finally, before I let you go, let's talk about charters, which are increasing in North Carolina. There's a policy that was just approved to limit out-of-state membership on charter boards. We see increasingly for-profit companies running charter schools. Are you concerned that this is getting out of control?
Well, having out-of-state companies run charter schools has really changed the dynamic of charter schools. They were first developed as a way of getting innovation into the public arena. And I believe it's important to have people who run charter schools to be invested in the community and to be there for the long haul. And that's one of the dangers of having out-of-state companies run our schools. They may not be in the business for the long haul and for the benefit of students.
Well, thank you for all you're doing for students in public education. We appreciate you being with us.
Well, thank you very much.
Up next, a preview of a WRAL-TV documentary about teacher pay. Stay with us.